Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're in the missionary journey of Paul the Apostle, his first journey. Stay tuned for this program. In Acts chapter 14, verse number 1, it says it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Well, it'd be nice if it ended there and we just had a nice story about people trusting in the Lord, but we have in verse number 2 the word but. That means everything's turning around to something different. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. There's going to always be somebody who's going to attempt to turn people away from the Lord. Well, in verse 3, they didn't get discouraged here. They continued. It says, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony under the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And so when the opposition comes, that's just the time to speak boldly and keep doing it for a long time. Well, in verse 4, we read, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. Well, that's life. What we have to do, whether we're part of the multitude or whether we're part of the leadership, whatever is happening here, we live our lives with choices and consequences. And so part of the city was divided. The multitude of the city was divided, rather, and part, went with the Jews, and part went with the apostles. Choices and consequences. Those who made the right choices are glad they did today. And they are, by the way, somewhere alive today. Only the body dies. The soul lives on forever. Well, in verse 5 we read, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they that were aware of it, and they fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. They just kept on going. Well, in verse 8 we read, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And it says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped up and walked. I think it's interesting that it says here that Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. He understood that. He could look at that man and decide right there. He had faith to be healed. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Well, we go on in verse 9. It says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Well, in verse 12, we read, they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Jupiter went, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which, when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of that, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifices unto them. Well, verse 19, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Well, there you have it. It's like when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and riding on the donkey, and they're laying down their clothes in front of him, and they're putting the branches down and hail, King of the Jews. And within 3 or 4 hours, the same people were crying, crucify him, crucify him. And here we have Paul and, you know, Barnabas. They're going to worship them. No, you can't worship us. Okay, then we'll stone you. How sick is that? Is it any wonder that we read in John chapter 4 where Jesus said that he did not commit himself unto men, for he knew all men? Well, we read they stoned Paul and they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Albeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Well, verse 21 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Well, what they did there is found in verse 22. It says that they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Well, they obviously spent some time in the area. It says in verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after that, they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaleia. Well, it's kind of easy for us to read these verses, but they walked. They were walking through rough territory for hundreds of miles as they went from one place to another, sacrificing their time and sacrificing their lives for the cause of Christ. Well, we read in verse 26, and thence sailed they to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They fulfilled their work, and they went back to their local church at Antioch. And we read in verse 27, and when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of the faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Well, as you study the Word of God, we need to look at it in three areas. We need to look at it with concerning observation. Let's just observe what's there. Then we need to look at interpretation. What does this all mean? And most important, we need to look at the application. These things are written, the Bible says, for our admonition. And so as we look at this story of these great men as they went out to serve the Lord, we need to let this story look at us. And we could ask ourselves a few questions in making some applications. For one, how does this affect my relationship with God? Is there something in this story that God would have me to learn that would affect my relationship with him? Or here's a question, how would it affect my relationship with people? We see quite a few things happening in different relationships between people. Is there something I need to learn here? What about my personal life? How does this affect my personal life? Is there something that God is speaking to me that I need to change regarding my responsibilities in life or my associations or my church or my family? What is God speaking to me about here? In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we have a story of five people who ministered to the Lord in the local church. So let's ask ourselves now, from God's perspective, how am I doing in my ministering to the Lord in the local church? God chose Paul and Barnabas out of those five people, and he sent them out to be missionaries. But all of them, for at least 5 years, had been working together in that church, and they're mentioned here for a reason. These things happened and are written for our admonition. Now, what can we learn from this? On a scale of 1 to 10, how does God rate me? Ask yourself this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how does God rate me as far as serving in the local church is concerned? How am I doing there? Think back in the last month. Have you done anything in the local church for the cause of Christ, or do you just sit there and take it in all the time? Then we get to Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. So on a scale of 1 to 10, as God sees it, where would you think he would put you here and on as far as being filled with the Holy Ghost? Now, we mentioned before this talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not that, like, you know, you fill a glass with milk and there it's full to the top. It's talking about the wind blowing into the sails of a ship, and the wind fills the sails, and then it sends the ship in the direction that the wind is blowing. And so all it means here, when we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is, are we allowing him to send us in the direction that he wants us to go? Are we doing the things that he is directing us to do, or saying the things that he is directing us to say? How does the Holy Spirit fit into your life? Now let's take a moment and think about it. Rate yourself. Better still, maybe stop and think, how would the Lord rate me? On a scale of 1 to 10, where would I be here as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit is concerned? Well, in Acts 13 and verse 16, we read Paul stood up. He stood up. He stood up for what he believed, and it was very costly for him to do that. Well, from God's perspective, where do you stand here? Are you standing up for the Lord? On a scale of 1 to 10, are you a 1? Are you a 10? Are you a 3? Where do you stand here? Paul stood up. Are you standing up at work? Are you standing up amongst your peers? Are you standing up out there in the world for the cause of Jesus Christ? These things are written, the Bible says, for our admonition. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse number 46, we read Paul and Barnabas wax bold. They were under opposition. They didn't cower. They didn't run away. They waxed bold. Now again, let's take a moment and let's do a little rating here. How would we rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as waxing bold out there, being bold for Christ? The Bible says that when they saw the disciples and how bold they were, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, okay, we might rate ourselves better than we should. How would the Holy Spirit rate us? How would God rate us as far as our being bold for the cause of Jesus Christ? And then we read in Acts 14 and 22, they continued in the faith. They continued in the faith. Are you continuing or are you quitting? How would the Lord rate you on that? Well, Paul and Barnabas are back in the local church there in Antioch from whence they were sent. They're having a great time, wonderful fellowship amongst the people. And then we get into chapter 15, and all this begins to change. What happens? It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, you know, there's going to be somebody come along and give you some trouble if you decide you're going to serve the Lord. These people walked for 300 miles to get up here and cause some disruption. Well, it says here, certain men came. Certain men, that phrase is in the Bible quite a few times. Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 6 talk about certain men who were defiled. Deuteronomy 13:13 talks about certain men who were children of Belial. And then certain men who crept in, the Bible says, to the local church in Jude 1 and 4. And then here in Acts 15, certain men from Judea who came down to cause trouble in the local church. Well, how did Paul and Barnabas respond to this? We read concerning this situation where Paul was talking about it in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They didn't just let it go. They stood up and did what they needed to do. Well, in Acts 15, verse number 2, we read they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. We've got to solve this situation. What are we going to do? And so they needed to take care of it. It says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, they're going to take care of it. They're going to travel back down to Jerusalem. Well, for you and I, that might mean we'd get in our car, and if it is winter time, we could turn up the heat, or if it was summer, we could turn on the air conditioner. Not for these people. They're going to walk 300 miles to solve this problem because it's important. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue this series in the life of Paul.